All right, well, that's the word. We're going to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 19. One portion here in this chapter where Lord Jesus gives very good teaching. And I think what I'm going to do is read it, and then we'll go back over it and talk about it. So I'm going to read verses 16 through 26. Okay? And behold, one came and said unto him being Jesus, Good Master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said unto him, Why do you call me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if you will enter into life, keep the commandments. He said unto him, Which? Jesus said, Thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness. Honor your father and your mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbors yourself. And the young man said unto him, All these things have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet? Or what am I still lacking? Jesus said unto him, If thou wilt be perfect, or be mature, a mature spiritual, go and sell that thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. Come and follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, Verily I say unto you, that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. And again I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. When his disciples heard it, they were exceedingly amazed, saying, Well, who then can be saved? And Jesus beheld them and said unto them, With men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. This is a very familiar account here that I think probably everybody's familiar with. What would you say, or what do you feel that Jesus is teaching in this? I had several things that stood out to me, and we're going to go back over it. All right, let's go back over it from the beginning, and just take it a verse at a time, and let's see what may jump out at us. So this one came to Jesus. In one of the other Gospels, it calls him the young rich ruler. And we do see here that he has lots of possessions. So he comes to Jesus and he calls him good master. And Jesus said, Why do you call me good? There's none good but God. We realize that some words in the scriptures mean different things spiritually than what they do in our normal speech. Normally, we say, if something's good, it's pleasing to us. It might be pleasing to our taste, it may be pleasing to our eyes, pleasing to our ears, something that we like. We call that good. But the scripture said, there's none good but God, you see. And there's a reason for that, is because of what was pointed out when we were talking earlier about the corruption within man. Good is a word that describes the very nature of God. He is good. Not occasionally.
All the time.
Good all the time, yeah. He's good. And Paul tells us in Romans chapter 3, says, there's none that do good. No, not one, you see. And of course, man in his thinking of himself, we tend to think of ourselves more highly than we ought to. So in his arrogance, I'm good. But the fact of the matter is, we're not good. And as long as you feel like you're good, that's going to hinder you from coming to the Lord. Because as long as you're good, you don't need it. Right? So there's one thing that the Lord is teaching us. And this young rich ruler, he said, what good thing that I shall do that I may have eternal life? He felt like that he could get eternal life by doing something good. A lot of Christians are that way. They want to do good works and good things. Well, maybe God will bless me or reward me, or maybe I can make it to heaven if I do good things. The thing of it is, human nature is corrupt, and no matter what a person does, even if it's something that appears to be good, it's got some of that corruption mixed in with it. It's like the tree of good and evil in the garden, you know, Genesis chapter 2. And so everything that man is produces, everything that he does, it's got a mixture. So we need to get rid of the bad part and get the good part, which is the Lord, flowing into it. But Jesus said, why do you call me good? There's none good but God. Now, if you want to enter into life, keep the commandments. So the young man came with the idea that he could do something good. And by doing good things, he could enter into eternal life. So the Lord says, well, you know the commandments. Well, which ones would I do? Well, you know, don't murder anybody. Don't commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Honor your father, your mother. Thou shalt love thy neighbors yourself. And the young man said, I've done all that, and it hadn't worked. I can do all those things. So no matter what good things you do, it doesn't merit anything. And so the Lord is trying to get across to us here that it's not what you do that counts. It's what you become. What you become. See, you can... A lot of religious organizations have these list of things you shouldn't do. I remember not too long ago that there were a lot of churches who say, don't go to dancing. You know, that's evil. Do not dance. But you can never dance and don't make it any holier than you were before. You know? Shouldn't watch TV. Well, you could turn 100 TVs off. It's not going to make you any holier. See, it's not what you do not do that helps. It's what you become. The emptying out of self and Him coming forth in your life. That's what counts, you see. Because even when you come to the place and you say, Lord, I realize what I am. I repent and I ask for forgiveness. And the Lord said, okay, I forgive you. And you are forgiven. But that doesn't change your nature. You see, He teaches that in the Old Testament because He gives us these offerings that they would have to present. If they committed sin, they'd have to bring an offering. They get forgiveness. And the next thing you know, they're having to bring another goat. Oops, missed it again. You see? And it's the same way with Christians. So we find out that it's not just forgiveness that we need. We need an emptying out of self and a filling in of Him. If He's the only one good, then that means we need Him in us. So He can be the good flowing through us. And we want to come to the place where there's so much of Him in us that what we do doesn't have that mixture. But it's just an expression of what He is. And that's the key. See? So many Christians go back to try to work up their holiness. Hey, you can't do it. You can't discipline the old nature. You see, it has to die. it has to be put aside. And that's the transference that the scriptures speak about, where that our sins, when we repent, are transferred to the cross. But then his nature has to be transferred back to us. If we don't complete the cycle, see, why do you call me good? Only God is good. Do you realize that the good works you're talking about aren't going to do it? But you need him, his good, to come forth in you. You see, and that's what the Lord's trying to say. And the young man, he realized, hey, I've done all those religious things. I have not done those things that I wasn't supposed to do. Now, I'm still lacking something. What am I lacking? What lack I yet? He says in verse 20. And Jesus says, well, if you want to be perfect. Now, people get hung up on perfect. Let me try to give an illustration. I'll use the first chapter of Genesis. And the first day, there was light. God said, let there be light, and there was light. And he said, it's good. It's good. Not perfect yet, but it's good. See? And the second day, there was a division between the waters above and the waters below. And at the end of the day, God said, it's good. See? And each day is the same. So, where you are at the moment, if that's where you should be, that's perfection. But if you're still there a year from now, that wouldn't be perfection, because we're to grow and to mature and to progress in our relationship with the Lord. So if you're where you should be, that's maturity, that's perfection. God looks at you. He's doing good. But he's not accomplishing anything. He's not making any progress. And later on, God looks, man, he is missing it a lot. You see. So that's what the Lord means when he's perfect. If you will be perfect, if you will mature. See, it's that growing process of continuing in your relationship with the Lord. That's what makes you perfect. Not that you don't do anything wrong. You see the difference? Mm-hmm. But I tell you what, if you love the Lord and you want to be like him and you're making progress in your relationship with him, he looks over a lot. Mm-hmm. It's like, remember when one of your boys was born? Mm-hmm. Little baby. You know, the time came, well, take a step. Takes a step, oop, falls on his face. What do? You pick them up and smack them. You say, come on, kid, try it again.
Try it again.
Try it again. And they say, you know, taking several steps. And before you know it, you're doing all kind of things. And that's the way the Lord is with us. He just says, you're trying it. Come on, try it again. And so that's what perfection means in the scriptures. So he said, now, if you want to be perfect, if you want to progress in your relationship with God, take what you have and give it to the poor, and you shall have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. Now, the treasure wouldn't be a problem, except the Lord, Jesus being the Lord, he could tune into the situation. He knew what the problem was. He's got all this treasure. It means more to him. He wants to know how to be perfect. How can he mature? What can he do about his relationship with God? But there's one thing standing in the way. He likes his possessions more than he likes God. If you like God first, he don't care how much possessions you have. But when you love the possessions more than him, then that hinders the relationship. So the Lord goes after the one thing that's really his problem, that's keeping him from becoming what he should be. And he says, take what you have, give it to the poor, you come and follow me. Well, look, you know, young Richard, I don't know that I want to be perfect that much.
Right, I have to get rid of my stuff?
I'm not sure I want it that bad. I've seen a lot, so many Christians, I've seen them, you know, I want to grow in the Lord. I want to become what God wants me to be. But when they come to the place where they need the things that's going to be necessary, the means to becoming, they back off. Because Jesus said, if any man will come after me or be as I am, then let him deny himself. Uh-oh. Most people can't get through that one. But he said, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. There's a lot of emptying out that has to do with the emptying out of the uglies. You see, you want to ascend in the Lord, draw closer to him. It's just like the hot air balloon. You want to ascend, throw out the sandbags, man. You know, get rid of the sin that so easily beset us. And that's what it is. But the young man went away sorrowful. He had great possessions, and what he was wanting, he didn't want it enough to part with the possessions. If he had wanted enough, it probably would not have been demanded of him.
You know what this reminds me of? It was in the Old Testament, and I think it was Abraham, and he put his son on the altar to sacrifice him, and before he slayed him, God said,
right.
I got the right story?
Mm-hmm. Right. He didn't have to follow through.
Because he was willing to do it.
In his heart, he gave him up.
Right.
If we can give up what we think are our possessions, just give them to the Lord. And you'd be surprised. You give up these things to the Lord. Next thing you know, he's giving them back to you.
Yeah.
Multiplied. All right. But he walks away. And in verse 23... Jesus says to his disciples, hard for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven. Just very hard. Then he explains that a little bit more. He said, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. Now, that needs to be explained. Now, in that day, there was a wall around the city. And there was a big gate that was open for people to come in and out during the day. But when nightfall comes, you don't want the marauding bands and so forth coming in. So you close the gate. But inside the gate is a little door. It's called the Eye of the Needle. That door is just big enough that a camel can get down on its knees and come through that door. Unless it's got a lot of things on its back that it's bringing in. And the Lord is trying to tell us, it's more difficult to enter into the kingdom than it is for a camel to go through the eye of a needle, for a rich man to enter the kingdom. What a rich man, he's saying, you can get through the eye of the needle. You can come through the gate and enter the kingdom of God. But you want to take all your baggage with you? Won't work. No, won't work. That's like the young rich dude, he goes in the army. He's tramping up the hill and he's got his tennis racket and his guitar hanging on the back. He'll be one of the first ones shot. And so Jesus is saying, you can come through the eye of the needle, come through the gate that leads into the kingdom of God, but all that humanistic baggage, the possessions that grab your heart, you know, we're not talking about material things so much as the possessions that grab your heart and keeps you from entering into the relationship that you need with the Lord.
You know, so another thing that kind of seems kind of symbolic is the camel has to go get down on his knees.
Right.
It's kind of like a form of humility.
Right on. That's good, Henry. Yeah. That's good. That's exactly right. You want to come through, there has to be the humility. All right. When his disciples heard that in verse 25... they were amazed and said, well, who can be saved then? And so Jesus says in verse 26, with men, it's impossible. You can't do anything to come into real salvation It has to be a work of God. See? But with God, all things are possible. It takes a new birth, a new life, where you literally leave the old life and come into a new life, you see. And thank God for all the Christians that have repented and got forgiveness of their sins. But that doesn't create the new life. The new life is created by the emptying out and disposing of all the things of your human nature. You see, people serve many gods. And those gods are things that are within them. The wanting this and wanting that. Wanting a good name. Great education. All the things that man can want. Things of self. Man is unable, but God is able. And that's where the knees come in that you mentioned. You're just going to have to get on your knees, humble yourself before the Lord. And when you come to the place, you say, God, I can't save myself. It makes no difference how many commandments I keep. It ain't going to work. No matter what I don't do, I do. That's not the issue. It's what I've become. And your become depends on your relationship with the Lord. Psalm 51 is a beautiful psalm to read, because David says a sacrifice is not what you're looking for, but you're looking for a contrite heart, a brokenness, a humility. Okay, with God, all things are possible. Takes a miracle. You brought up the thing with Abraham. Abraham is an example. Abraham reached 100 years old. And back in that day, having a son was a big deal because of the promise that came in chapter 3 of Genesis, where there would be a seed, and that seed being Christ would be the Messiah that was to come. So all these women, they want to have the Messiah.
Right.
And anyhow, Abraham, 100, and I think it was Sarah, about 10 years younger, and they look at each other. Sarah's womb is good as dead. Abraham, just as dead. Well, Sarah, it's too late. It's too late. Then God speaks a word, and lo and behold, he opens Sarah's womb, and she gives birth to a child. And that's Isaac, and that's the reason Isaac is called the seed of promise. Was no way that human energy, nothing they could do to bring about that son. God had to do it. It's a miracle, you see. It's the same way with us. You want to be really born again? It has to be what God does. You can't work it up. You can't do it. And God will wait until it's very obvious to you. You can't do it. And then you just say, Lord, I can't. And that's when the miracle comes. He's an awesome God, and he's trying to teach us. If we just quit being religious and really open up to the Lord to become as he is. Religion is of man. But to become spiritual and to know him, to partake of his life, it's a totally different thing. Amen.